I love the true story, as I was told, a true story. The radio broadcaster, he was in the booth. He was calling a big football game for the year. The home team had the football towards the end of the game, and they were pressing toward the end zone. The running back broke loose from the line of scrimmage, and he headed toward the end zone. And the broadcaster says, "There's Smith. He's at the 30. He's at the 20, the 15, the 10, the 5. And he looked up, and it wasn't Smith on the back of the jersey. It was Brown. And without a pause, he says, "And Smith laterals to Brown for a touchdown." He was to do the broadcasting at the horse races, in particular the Kentucky Derby. And he was making the call as the horse made the turn. The same broadcaster said, "And Summer Song makes the turn, and Summer Song's in the lead, and Summer Song crosses the finish line." And then he noticed it wasn't Summer's Song. It was the wrong horse he had called. It was a different horse that won the race. And the guy in the booth with him was familiar with how he had pulled off a recovery at the football game. And he said, "Why didn't you try to do the same thing in this case?" And he said, "Have you ever tried to lateral a horse?" Some things just don't work. Some things just cannot be handed off or passed off. When we're talking about spiritual growth, it just won't work for you to do the growing for me. It's not going to work for me to do the growing for you. It's not going to work for me to be serious with my relationship to the extent that I seek to grow in the grace and knowledge of Jesus Christ, and you give no attention to that and think that someone else can grow for you. I don't think I have said anything at this point for which you are not in full agreement. I want to talk about spiritual growth, some aspects about spiritual growth tonight. It is good for us to be together again. To our visitors, I say thank you. And we are encouraged by you being here. We are glad that you are here. The Apostle Paul loved the church at Colossae, the brethren throughout the regions in Colossae. He had not seen them, most likely face to face, but he writes to them as an inspired apostle to encourage them with regards to their spiritual walk, their spiritual growth in Christ. The Apostle Paul just makes a point early in that letter. And he says in our division, chapter 1, in about verse 28, he says, "We preach Christ, warning every man, teaching every man in all wisdom, that we may present every man perfect or complete, spiritually mature in Christ." Paul was to accomplish in some part their spiritual maturity, their growth process by way of preaching. He writes a letter to them with the intent that this letter be read so that this letter would be properly heard, so that this letter would be properly received, so that this letter would be properly applied to the extent that each hearer and each learner would become more mature in Christ. And Paul said, "One way I want to accomplish that is through preaching." I believe it was Epaphras who, having been confronted with the truth, perhaps preached by Paul, and responded to that truth, Epaphras would go back and, as an evangelist, as a preacher, he shares the gospel with others. And he was their minister to some extent. Paul makes a point in chapter 4 of Colossians that Epaphras, he says Epaphras labors fervently for you in prayer. It's Paul saying something to the church at Colossae, Hierapolis, Laodicea, but especially at Colossae, something about Epaphras the man. to the extent that these brethren would pay attention to his teaching and his preaching and follow his good influence. But he says, your preacher, if you will, he labors fervently for you in prayer. To what end? Paul tells them. That you may stand perfect and fully assured in all the will of God. That you may stand firm. That is, that there may be conviction in your heart with regards to who you are serving. And that truth resides in Jesus. You are complete and made full in Him. You need no other. But also he was concerned, Epaphras was, that they continue to grow up in the truth, so that they would grow up into Christ. Similar with what Paul says in Ephesians chapter 4. Speaking the truth in love, that you may grow up into Christ in all aspects of your life. Not be like children. Here's my point though. What Paul says, at least in part, he wanted to accomplish their spiritual maturity. He wanted to accomplish through preaching. He says Epaphras, although he's your minister, he seeks to accomplish your spiritual maturity by praying. Sometimes we forget that. I mean, he says, what can I be doing? I mean, I don't have the pulpit like you have the pulpit. I don't have the platform like you have the platform. I'm not the one who is the evangelist. I'm not ministering the way that you minister. What can I do in regards to the spiritual development of self and others in the body? Labor fervently in prayer for the spiritual growth of every member of this body. Why do I bring these passages up? Because I think sometimes, church, we forget how much emphasis is placed in the letters and in the writings of the inspired apostles with regards to the spiritual development of a local spiritual body. Each and every member who makes up that body growing up into Christ. A spiritually healthy church is a church actively involved in discerning truth and then living out truth. Listen to me again. A spiritually healthy body is made up or comprised of members of that body who are actively involved in discerning truth with a desire to live out that truth in their lives. But don't misunderstand what I'm saying. The essence of growth is not just a matter of knowing and believing. The essence of true spiritual growth is not just a matter of knowing and believing. The essence of true spiritual growth is a matter of becoming and doing. It's a process. It takes time. We're not concerned about sticking our noses in the pages of the Word of God, which is the only true infallible source. The intent and the interest is not just having your face or nose in the book, but your heart in the Word. Because your heart is firmly rooted in Christ. You're not trying to gain knowledge so that you can use that right knowledge and impress others in the body with how much you've learned in the last 12 months. With how many now questions you can answer when put on the spot maybe in a Bible class that nobody else can answer. Because after all, I know what you don't know. I'm learning it faster than you are learning it. That kind of attitude and disposition toward knowledge and spiritual development can make us arrogant. The essence of true spiritual growth is taking the right knowledge and putting it to use in practical ways in our lives so that we're more like Christ and better servants of Christ. But in that process, right knowledge is important. I'm going to make three practical points with regards to our spiritual development. Growth is essential, but your growth process begins for you. If you have not started it, it begins for you now. It's not, I'll wait till after the holiday or the holidays. It's not, man, that's a great place to start in January in the new year with a resolution for 2013. You start now. Someone has once said, it's not what you are going to do, but it's what you are doing now that counts. Start now. But in order to grow spiritually, you must desire the Word. This is the only way, my brethren, that we are going to hear from God and learn from God and learn about God in the truest sense is from a consideration of the mind of God as it has been revealed to us through the Spirit. Which makes, and you understand this, which makes the Word of God the most important resource and tool available in your life for the spiritual growth process. But it begins with you wanting to hear from God, wanting to learn about God, so that you can become more like Jesus Christ. You must long for the Word. You know what Peter says. 1 Peter chapter 2, beginning in verse 1. Peter says, 1 Peter 2, beginning in verse 1, therefore, putting aside all malice, all deceit, all hypocrisy, envy, and all slander, and like a newborn child, like a newborn baby, you long for or you desire the pure milk of the Word, so that by it you may grow in respect to salvation. By it you may grow. But it begins for you and for me with a longing for, with a desire for that pure milk of the Word. When you desire something, when you long for something, it's regularly on your mind. When you crave after something, then you seek after that something. The million-dollar question is, what kind of longing for, what kind of appetite do you have for the Word of God? I would lovingly submit to you that if the pages of God's Word stays closed on Monday and Tuesday and Thursday and Friday and Saturday, chances are very high you do not have the longing for the Word that God would have you to have for His Word. But it's not just a desire for the Word. It's a delight in the Word. And the two go together. It's the psalmist in Psalm 1. Blessed is the man who walks not in the counsel of the ungodly, or stands in the way of sinners, nor sits in the seat of the scornful. For his delight is in the law of the Lord. And in His law he meditates day and night. Did you see the connection between a consideration, a meditation of the Word day and night on a regular basis with he delights in the Word? See, if you delight in the Word, then you're going to get into the Word. And once you get into the Word, because you delight in the Word, then you are going to continually consider the Word. While you're washing the dishes, while you're mowing the grass cutting probably is coming to an end, while you're driving in the car, if you got a 10-hour drive, pay attention to the traffic, but you can still meditate on the Word. You can think about that passage. You can think about those points, an emphasis of truth that you heard on the Lord's Day, and you meditated on Monday. And all of that is to the intent that we grow in knowledge. Your growing for you begins today. In growing, you must be teachable. The key, or one of the keys, to being teachable is the obvious: possess a teachable spirit, which requires humility. Humility. But it also demands that you desire to be a continual learner. It's the attitude, because you are humble, that says, I have not yet arrived. I don't know it all. There's much more I need to learn. I could be wrong. Even though I've believed this for this long, doesn't mean that I ought not to consider carefully if my position lines up with truth. To be a learner. In the language of the Hebrew writer, whoever he might have been, in Hebrews chapter 2, I love the English Standard Version. In Hebrews 2 and verse 1, the exhortation is, pay much closer attention to what we have heard. The Hebrew writer is stressing a point here to these Hebrew Christians who were intent on going back into Judaism. And this return would not be a good return. It would be a digression. It would be a going backward. It would be ultimately, if it did not turn itself around, result in coming short of God's grace. And he says one of the things that you're not doing, that you need to be doing, is paying much closer attention to what you have already heard. Lest you drift from it. And I will tell you, this drifting, it's a slow process. It doesn't happen overnight. It's not as though someone woke up on a Monday morning and said, you know what, I think today I'll leave the Lord. I think today I'll just stop caring. But what happens when I cease paying close attention to truth that's been revealed by God, that's when I begin a process toward drifting away from God. That's what happened to physical Israel. Sure, physical Israel had their problems. And God reveals what He reveals to us of old so that we do not repeat the same bad example, so that we do not become like physical Israel. He wants spiritual Israel to learn from the mistakes of physical Israel. They got off course. Boy, did they get off course, physical Israel. But the problem when physical Israel got off course, it wasn't because they lost their map. It was because they lost their heart. They stopped listening and paying attention to what God would speak. And they stopped trusting the God who would speak. What happens to spiritual Israel today is, a lot of times we stop growing because we stop listening to the God who has already spoken. And I stop trusting and believing in the God who has already spoken. And I come up with my own plan. I come up with my own course. And unfortunately, maybe only for a temporary time, but unfortunately nonetheless, it doesn't always include God. And we end up drifting when we never intended on drifting. To be a continual learner means to possess the kind of spirit that you desire to increase in learning. Proverbs 1 and verse 5. A wise man will hear, and it was the wise man who will increase in learning. It's the foolish who doesn't listen. I'm not saying be gullible. These are not passages trying to convince us to believe everything we hear, to follow the advice of everyone who speaks. Proverbs 9 and verse 9, give instruction to a wise man and he will still be wiser. Teach a righteous man and he will increase his learning. Who gets the most from proper instruction? That's the question. Who gains the most from proper instruction and truth? The one who is wise and humble. To grow, you must allow yourself and put yourself in the best possible position to hear what the Spirit has revealed and to continue to learn what God would have you, what He would have me to learn. And I will tell you, you will be at some point surprised by what you learned and from whom you learned it. But we need to be learners. And finally, number three, we need to develop a plan and stick with that plan. I've talked about this before. It's a plan. I've talked to a lot of you over the years. And when there's something that you're serious about, in some measure, not all of us to the same degree, but in some measure we're planners. If there's something very important in your life, you start thinking about a plan. A plan to see that this is accomplished in me. A plan to see that this is done in the right way, but in the quickest way. I want to see that this works out the way I need it to work out. And so I'm coming up with a plan. And sometimes when we put down that plan and we implement that plan, we learn from the mistakes in that plan and we make corrections, but we're still continuing the plan. We're working the plan, but we come up with a plan. I unfortunately have known brethren that know the necessity and the reality of spiritual growth and that they need to be growing up in Christ and that they need to be growing now, but they have absolutely no plan. They're kind of just waiting for it to happen by chance and circumstance. Flying by the seat of your pants is what I used to hear my granddad say. That won't work. And it's funny, we don't do that in other areas. So I'm asking you tonight, what's your plan? Somebody says, I don't have one. Well, go to someone tried and true of good influence and relationship with you to whom you trust and say, hey, I need some help. Help me with a plan. A plan that will work for me. Don't give me your plan. Think about me, pray about me, and come back to me and give me a plan that you think will work for me. How about if you're a mom and you've got toddlers at home that make sometimes the spiritual growth process, let's say, challenging? How about moms, young mothers, you go to some of these older ladies who have already raised their children and say or ask, hey, what did you do? What worked for you? Guys, 20s and 30s, 40s, on the road a lot, have to be on the road, have to be on the go. I mean, the boss is pushing, he's pushing, he's pushing. He's demanding, he's demanding, he's demanding. He's taxing you, he's taxing you. And you find at the end of the day that you have very little energy and enthusiasm for the things that really, really matter. And so you're kind of frustrated about that. How about going to one of the shepherds here? How about going to some of these aged men, tried and true? And I know times have changed a bit over the last 20 or 30 years, but they can know and they do know what we in our 30s and 40s do not know. And say, hey, what worked for you? When you had to be on the road a lot, when you were away from home, when you were away from the Bible, what did you do? but we need a plan. We need a reasonable, workable, doable plan that fits who we are, where we are, in our walk with Christ. That fits who we are and where we are in our walk with Christ. What about you tonight? Where are you? Are you in Christ? Somebody said, well, you've been talking about growing up in Christ in all aspects. I'm not in Christ. Well, for you, you need to begin. For you, today is a day of beginnings. For you, today is a day of you being saved, forgiven of your sins through and by the blood of Jesus Christ. If you're here tonight and you are not in Christ, and you believe with all of your heart that He was who He said He was, the Christ of God, God's anointed, the Messiah, are you willing by faith to confess your belief in Him? Turning from your sins, repenting of your sins, and then being immersed in water, baptized, to have your sins forgiven. Or if you're here tonight, those of us who are in Christ, and yet you have not been growing up into Christ, repent of that and seek God's blessing and favor and forgiveness. And then be diligent to grow up into Christ in all aspects of your life. Because if we are not growing, my brethren, we are dying. If you're not in Christ, won't you come while we stand and while we sing?